I don't want to talk long, and so I'm not going to take long. That's sometimes very difficult for someone who's been a politician to do, is to not take long. I'm no longer a politician. I've served for 13 years on the Oakland City Council. And in that period, you know, I have been deeply involved in a lot of the issues around the police department and the injustices within our community. And I still work to try to change those injustices. They used to call me the conscience of the council. And I didn't like that, because what I heard that saying was I couldn't make any difference. I couldn't make any changes. I couldn't get any motions done. But I would speak the truth. People would hear it, but it wouldn't change anything, because I was just the conscience of the council. But I know that a lot of the issues that I brought up then eventually have made some difference and have changed some things. But I want to speak a little bit about what is going through my head at this time about the tension that exists within this city and that needs to be dealt with. And when I do that, I think of a book that just came out. I don't know if any of you have read it, but it's called How People Make Decisions. They're beginning to try to look at how human beings decide to do one thing and not do another. And the picture that most often gets put out there about that is that if we look at the basic kind of body motivations, the instincts that influence people's decision making, there's the picture of a horse. And then if we talk about the forebrain, the part of the brain that analyzes all those instinctual things and does some of the cultural translation and does some of the conceptual development and then kind of short circuits those decisions in order for an adult judgment to be made, that's visualized as the rider on the horse. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
All right. So that's the picture. So the forebrain, the body is telling you, go do this, go do that. That's sweet, that's nice, that's comfortable, that's safe. And then the forebrain has to think about that and then pull the horse in another direction or allow it to go forward based on that conceptual analysis that goes on. Well, what the book says is that's wrong. That's not the true picture we ought to look at. What the rider is riding on is not a horse, but an elephant. And so it's much more difficult than we imagine in order to pull those instinctual things around in order to do right. Well, what we've got going on right now, we've got some police officers who are afraid of this community. They're afraid of black men in this community particularly. They're afraid of young black men in this community who are willing to stand up and to do what young black men do when they're dealing with one another. You know, I don't want to take his message, but we got a brother here who's going to speak about what we need to do in order to protect ourselves. But what we got is officers riding this elephant, and this elephant is fearful and moving them in the direction to do some wrong things within our community. So we have to be very aware of that. They're human beings. They're human beings. And they make decisions like all human beings do. And we're human beings. And when we get in a situation where there's a person with a gun who's unjustly threatening us, sometimes, particularly some of the young among us, go with their instincts. They let that elephant take them along. We've got to begin to teach our young people that they've got to get that rider back in control and start moving that operation in a way that makes them safer and can make a difference in terms of the safety of their lives. But it goes even deeper than that, because we're not just individual human beings, we are a collection of human beings. And that same kind of decision making goes on in the collection. So we've got to understand the condition that we're in, and we got to think and work out how to change the conditions so our young people don't have to face what they've been facing in this community for too long.
I just wanted to bring to your attention, as you know, a few weeks ago, we made a trip to Sacramento called the Caravan for Justice. My brother Gene Hazard and others were able to record that more than 500 of us went there the day that the budget was passed to let it be known where these laws are being written that are swiftly criminalizing our people, that's building and filling new prisons, in addition to the fact of giving law enforcement more authority to kill without any accountability. So we're now concerned with changing the way that laws are written. I want to point your attention to a Globe newspaper article. In the new edition, a group called the California Association of Human Relations Organizations held a series of workshops and symposiums and listened to some of the legislative ideas that they have put forth. They said, as we're looking at Chief G at BART and wondering why nobody does anything about Mesley, how he can shoot somebody not saying anything, and there be no prosecution of any kind, or no discipline, I should say, of any kind within the police department of an officer who is done wrong. So here's a legislative idea. Provide the police chief or sheriff with the ultimate responsibility for disciplining any officer for calls following appropriate due process investigation. It is unfair to hold police chiefs and sheriffs responsible for the conduct of the officers who serve under them without giving them the tools to mete out discipline. Conversely, chiefs or sheriffs who try to protect an officer who commits wrongdoing should be held accountable for their unwillingness to act. To me, that's legislation. In other words, the city can pay $10 million for somebody beating somebody down on camera as an OPD officer, but the chief doesn't even slap him on the wrist. The chief doesn't bear the weight of that $10 million, you do. In tax money, right? The chief now needs, there needs to be laws. Our point is we need to now command the legislation do what legislators have said they're supposed to do, write laws for us. Here's another one. Enact legislation to prevent officers from aiming or discharging a deadly weapon at someone unless there is other reasonable alternatives to prevent a wrongful death, or redesign peace officer training to reflect the new standards. I mean, it's full of legislative ideas. We're only saying to those in legislative, write it and we'll back you. Yeah. Don't write it and you got a problem with the community. And so we want to give the community, before we hear from our brother who's a retired law enforcement practitioner, we know that you have concerns on the subjects that we've been dealing with. The subjects of police brutality. The subjects of unnecessary death. The subjects of course, the murder of our brother Oscar. And we, since we're in this conversation as a community, we'd like to hear from you for about a minute apiece, your thoughts or your questions that we might be able to help bring more clarity into our motion and activity. Are there any questions?